You know, sometimes we need to look at the Word of God, and there's one scripture I want to look at in Psalms tonight, and it says in Psalms 18:29, "For by you," that would be, he's talking about God, "I can run against a troop. By my God, I can leap over a wall." Now, this is the psalmist David talking before anything ever happened. You see, we need to learn how to talk like God talks. He calls things to be not, and I'll talk about that in a minute, so before they get there. I want to look at this. The New International Version of Psalms 18:29 says, "With your help, I can advance against a troop. With my God, I can scale a wall." The God's Word translation, "With you, I can attack a line of soldiers. With my God, I can break through barricades. The Good News says, "You give me strength to attack my enemies and power to overcome their defenses." The Voice translation, "With your help, I can conquer an army. I can leap over walls with a helping hand from you." So, like I said before, we need to declare what we can do with God before it ever happens. You know, in this scripture, I want you to notice that as we begin to look at into scripture, maybe I should say it that way, God said, "Let there be light," before there was any light. And he called Abraham the father of many before there was any. Hello. And he called Gideon a mighty man of valor, and he's hiding from the enemy before he ever went out and fought any battles. And in Romans 4:17, it said, "God calls those things which are not as though they were." You know, we might actually, I guess the other translation says, "God calls those things which do not exist as though they did before." That's the New King James. I was quoting the old King James. You know, God speaks words of faith, declaring something a reality before it ever becomes a reality. You know, if we're to follow God and have all the promises of his word, then we've got to learn to declare the promises of God before we ever see them, feel them, taste them, touch them, anything. You know, turn to your neighbor and say, "You got to declare what God said before it ever happens." Here, as we look at the first part of this verse, "For by you I can run against a troop." Now, run against here means to rush upon in a hostile sense with violence. Hello. See, it said run against. If you ever notice, when David went out to meet Goliath, he didn't wait for Goliath to come to him. It said he ran to Goliath. When you see the problem coming, don't wait for it to get there. Take off and go toward it. With God, you always attack. You know, one time several years ago, somebody made the platform and was coming toward me as I was preaching, and some of the people said, "You went toward them." I said, "Well, I'm not going to wait till they get to me." Actually, in from a military standpoint, the one that's moving toward has the advantage. The attacker has the advantage. So we want to attack the enemy that's against us. Run against. Now, the word troop here, well, that's an older word, but it actually means a a squad, an army of soldiers is what it means. A group of soldiers. And Albert Barnes says this in his Barnes Notes on the Bible. The idea here is that David had been enabled to rush with violence upon his armed oppressors, that is, to overcome them and to secure victory. That's what it's talking about here. That's what this scripture is talking about. We see here that David is speaking literally of things and referring to natural enemies, and he is declaring that he can run through them before he ever gets there. Remember against the giant that it said that he was telling the giant what he was going to do, and then he ran toward the giant. Here it's saying he's telling, with my God, I can do all this, and now he's taking off to do it. See, we've got to have the same attitude. We got to get the same attitude that the enemy cannot overtake us, but we overtake him. Even when it looks impossible, we still declare, with God. It's all with God, the Word of God. You know, let's stop for a moment and think about something. We don't war against flesh and blood. Our enemy is spiritual. Look at Ephesians 6:12. Look at Ephesians 6:12. I'll give you a chance to turn there. You know, I used to turn there because I just write it, because I had to do all my sermons in longhand, but now I do them with the computer, and you got the Bible programs, and you can just cut and paste, and you got it already there, and you don't have to go hunt it. So I have to wait for y'all to find it. All right, I'm looking to see. Look like people got it in their Bible as well as on their devices. Okay. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Now, some of these are down here, but then it says against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Now, if you remember when Daniel prayed, and Daniel, remember, the angel got to him with the message, but it was 22 days later. And remember, he said he had to wrestle against the prince of Persia. But Daniel kept praying, and that gave the angel the strength to carry on through. That's why we have to keep saying it ahead of time. This verse is dealing with principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, and wickedness, wicked spirits in heavenly places. These are demonic forces that are our enemies. Now, many times, though, these forces work through natural things to try to get us. But we got to realize that it doesn't matter what's happening. It's like a symptom is saying, that's not the cause. That's just the symptom. How many understand what I'm saying to you? And see, we need to realize that behind all of our troubles, our circumstances, our situations, it's not that. Behind it is the enemy, Satan himself. And that's who we have to deal with. You know, speak to him. You know, Matthew, Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Now, I found out something interesting a year ago, this month, I guess it was. We were in Israel, did our Israel trip. Or was it 2 years ago?
2 years. Okay. Hey, as many places that I've gone and many time zones I've been through in the last 3 weeks, I don't know what day it is hardly. But we were up in northern Israel at the Temple of Pan. And there was an eternal fire burning there in which they were continually offering sacrifices of humans. And our guide was telling us that they believed that this is where Jesus was when he said the gates of hell will not prevail against us. And he was looking right at that demonic temple. He said the gates of hell, it won't prevail against us. You know, it may not be possible for you to run through a troop, but with God, you can run through the enemy and be victorious. You see, it's not hard to get a victory over somebody that's already defeated. Jesus already defeated the devil. He just trying to make you think that he's not defeated. He's defeated. We got to stand on the word of God and realize that he has to come in line. See, we need to realize that our triumph, or Christ's triumph, is our triumph. Christ's victory is our victory. You know, and of course we're going to go to Corinthians, but you all know this, 1 Corinthians 15:57. I'll wait if you want to turn there. I'll wait a minute. We'll wait for you to turn there. 1 Corinthians 15:57. And then we're going to go to 2 Corinthians 2:14. Most of y'all can quote these scriptures. But we need to be reminded of this stuff. But thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. We always win. See, we've got to determine to walk in our victory. You know, no matter what happens, no matter what somebody says or doesn't say, no matter what happens or doesn't happen, I'm still going to walk in line with God's word. Don't make any difference. In fact, I had somebody say to me not very long ago. You know, I had a healing line. I prayed for a healing line, and several people had gotten instantly healed. Some of them were much better. And a person come up to me afterwards, and they were talking about, well, you know, not everybody gets healed that you pray for. I said, I know that. You don't have to tell me that. Well, I wouldn't be doing that if I was you. I said, no, I'm not going to quit praying for people just because somebody didn't get healed. I'm not going to give a salvation invitation for somebody to get saved just because everybody don't get saved. Hello? And I'm not going to quit eating ribeye steak about 2 inches thick, medium rare, just because somebody threw one in the garbage can. Come on now. You know, sometimes people, their logic is just out here in left field somewhere, I guess. I don't know. I mean, but he said, you know, if you're going to pray for them, then everybody should get healed. I said, well, they should if they have faith. I said, the reason most of them don't get healed is because they don't activate that power by faith. And y'all have heard me teach it about the woman with issue of blood. She said, if I touch his clothes, I'll be whole. And Jesus said, power went out of him. But when he talked to the lady, he said, lady, your faith made you whole. How did her faith make her whole? By activating that power. There in Luke 5, where they brought the man on the stretcher, you know, and they couldn't get in, so they let him down inside the house. And it says that the power of the Lord was present to heal them. But none of them got healed except him, the one man. And the Bible says, when Jesus saw their faith. See, it's our faith in the word of God that's going to activate the power of God. The power is activated by our believing, and that is by us speaking it out of our mouth. maintain an attitude of victory. I'm going to keep going. Now look at something else that David said. He said, by my God, I can leap over a wall. By my God, I can leap over a wall. Now, historically, David is probably referring to the fact that he was going to scale the wall of the fortified city and gain a victory. You know, to us, this represents the walls of circumstances, situations, and obstacles that all come up in front of us. We all face these things. You know, it's not a matter, are you going to face circumstances and situations and obstacles? It's just a matter of when. You know. And we don't need to be dismayed or upset or afraid whenever we are confronted with situations. Because Isaiah 41:10, you probably know this one too, but I'm going to let you turn there because you need to turn and read it yourself. You know, that's the problem. Many people just let somebody else, they don't go read it for themselves. You'll retain more of it if you let your eyes actually see it and read it. Okay. Everybody ready? How many I got Isaiah 41:10? Good. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed. That means don't be discouraged, don't be upset. For I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. I want you to notice that it says, fear not, I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. And then I want you to notice, I will help you. I will uphold you. Will is a very strong word. It's one of the strongest words we have. How many of you are parents or grandparents? How many of you ever told your grandchild or your child, you will? When you said you will, that meant that there was not a shadow of doubt that it wasn't going to happen. Is that correct? That's what God is telling us right here. Right here. I'm glad to see some of my, you know, the youth camp's going on, so they didn't have the JV service, but we got some of our JVers in here with us tonight. I'm glad to have y'all. Pastor, glad to have his young church in here. Y'all all know that Pastor likes the youth, I mean. And that's, in fact, you all know that on one Sunday a month, I have them in here ever some with us, you know. I think too many churches have their kids just out there, and then they need to come in here. I like, somebody said, well, they might make racket. Who cares? I don't have to have this microphone to preach. Somebody said, well, those kids were bothering me. I couldn't hear. I said, well, then you need to get come down here and let me pray for you and get your nerves settled down. Now, let's go over here and look at Isaiah 41:10 in New Living Translation. I really like this. Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. Now, here's what I really like. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. That's why I like that. Victorious.
Glory to God. See, as a child of God, you never have to face your circumstances and your situations in life alone. God said he's with you right here. He said, don't be discouraged. I will strengthen you. I will uphold you. And there is no obstacle too big for me to take on. See, we don't look at it as you taking it on. It's God taking it on. You're just along for the ride. Come on now. You know, of course, all of them, you know, my favorite verse of scripture, Luke 18:27, the things which are impossible with man are possible with God. You know. But I like for people to be victorious and live on the victorious side. My dad always said, people need to be positive. The Bible is positive. Now, he said, there are things that the Bible says that we should not do, but we dwell on the positives. He said, dwell on the positive. Don't dwell on the negatives. You know, I hear people all the time, they get testifying, you know, pray for me, the devil has been after me. I don't know whether I'm going to make it or not. You need to be saying, thank God, I'm more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. The enemy's trying to come against me, but no weapon formed against me will prosper. See, stay on the positive. Stay on the victory side. You know, I used to like it when I was a kid growing up. We'd go to church. We sang all them songs, Victory in Jesus. And there's another one that's a victory song that I liked really well. Victory, yes, victory. Hallelujah, I am free. Jesus gives me victory. My wife, she know all them songs. Of course, she had to play them as a kid on the piano and organ with her dad in church. I never was much in the singing department. But we need to live on the victorious side. Yeah, the devil's going to come against you. Yeah, the devil's going to throw stuff at you. But I'm not going to give in to him. You know, the old timers and some of the old Pentecostal churches, they get up, pray for me, the devil has been after me all day. Yeah, bless his holy name. But they meant bless the Lord, what they were blessing. They didn't mean to bless. But that's what it sounded like. But what I'm trying to say is, see, instead of, you hear people all the time, they're talking about the circumstance, they're talking about the situation, they're talking about defeat instead of talking about victory, what the Word of God says. Come on. You know, I like the victorious attitude of the Apostle John in 1 John 4:4, and you all know what it says, but it says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. He already said he'd be with us. He's there. So lean on him. And then he said in 1 John 5:4-5, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? The attitude of victory comes from your confession, from what you say. You can either talk defeat and doubt, or you can talk faith and victory. All of us that's played sports and been in a locker room with a coach, they always talking to you about you got to say you can before you can. You got to believe you can win before you can win. You got to believe that you can beat the other guy before you can beat him. I mean, you walk up and you get in the batter's box and you get your stance. But if you, before you went up there, if you said to your buddy in the dugout,
you know, he's throwing 90 miles an hour. I don't think I can hit him. You might as well not even get in that box. Because you're not. You know, all of you know I run track in high school and play ball and track, but I used to get in those track lanes. You get in that lane and that starter tells you, take your blocks, get set, and fires the gun. When I step in, when he says, take your blocks, I don't care if this guy over here have run a faster time than I have. I'm going to win today. You've got to have that same kind of attitude with the Word of God. I'm going to win. It don't make no difference. It don't make no difference what somebody said or didn't say. It doesn't make any difference what somebody did or didn't do. The Word of God is always the same, and I win. Now, here is the, come to all said and done, the key comes down to these three words. And he said, for by you I can run against the troop. And here it is. By my God. I can leap over a wall. My God. You know, there's that song they sang, our God is great, however it goes. And I told Rich, I said, sing it, my God. You know. Our God makes it everybody. I want everybody. He's my God. See, David did these things because he didn't have to do them by himself. He said, by my God. Not just a God, my God. Not an unknown God, my God. Not my father's God, my God. Not the man upstairs. My God. That speaks of a personal relationship. Do you have a personal relationship with you, Father God? You know, I have, you know, how many of you are married in here? All right. How many of you men have ever said, my wife? Haven't you said it? Yes. Well, you didn't raise your hand. Sorry, William. See, we have personal relationships with our family, our wife, our spouse, our kids, our grandkids. We need that personal relationship, my God. You see, it's not our intellect that's going to get us through. It's not our strength. It's not what we know. It's who we know. My God. My God. The only way I'm going to make it through every obstacle and situation that the devil throws at me is because of my God. You know, we need to learn to activate the power of God in our lives by talking like David talks. When something comes against us, well, I can conquer that. You might not call it a troop. You might not call it a wall, but you say, I can conquer whatever. That's what he was saying. I can conquer that army that's coming against me. I can go out and take that fortified city. That's what he's saying. You know, we need to rise up with like David did and begin to say some things. Everybody stand with me as I'm going to close this out right now. Say this with me. God is my God. He is my helper.
He is my helper.
I declare what I can do, with God helping me, with His supernatural power. I can overcome every obstacle. With God helping me, I can overcome everything. the enemy brings against me. By faith, I declare the things that do not exist exist in my life by the word of God. By faith, I declare what I can do with God's help. By faith, I declare the outcome before it ever happens. Hallelujah. Raise your hands and thank God. Glory to God. God is on our side. Amen. When I was in grade school down at Central Elementary in Garland, Texas, and we'd choose up sides and play tackle football. We shouldn't without pads, but we did fourth, fifth, sixth grade. And there was one old boy named Harry. Everybody wanted to be on Harry's team because his team always won. Everybody wanted to be on Harry's team. Well, I'll tell you what, I want to be on God's team because God always wins. So I want to be on a winning team. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, I trust you got something out of that tonight. You know, sometimes if we just break some of these scriptures down like that, it can really be inspirational. Amen. If you happen to be here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, or you know what it is to have God in your life, but you have just not at the place you should be and you need to rededicate yourself to God. If that's you, as we dismiss this service, the ladies are here, the men are on this side. If you'll come down here and pray with them, you won't leave here like you came, in Jesus' name. If you need prayer for any reason whatsoever, you want to receive the Holy Spirit, you want somebody to pray with you about anything, come to the front as we're dismissed, and they'll pray with you. And we believe God that it will happen just like we pray, because that's what the Word says. Amen. Remember all the announcements? Hey, and I want to say thank you, all you. I mean, we have rockets every year, and you always, man, you always step up to the plate and come through. It is our outreach to this city. I don't know how many people talk about the rockets, and they talk about how much they enjoy coming to a place that it's safe. And there's no alcohol, and there's nothing, you know, and they can enjoy a night with their family. And you know what? We make that all possible. See, that's part of showing people the love of God. Why are we doing it? Because we love people and we want to show them. See, you can tell people all day long that you love them, but if you show them the love of God. Amen. So I want to thank you ahead of time. You always come through, and I want to thank you for going and signing up and getting involved. Amen. Praise the Lord. Turn around and shake hands with somebody and say, I'm okay. Hey, first time guest, connection team, go find our first time guest. We're so glad to have you. If you looking for a church home, while we say church, welcome home. Just come on, join us. We have a great time around here serving God unlimited. God doesn't have any limits. We may have limits in the natural, but with God, there's no limits. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Shake hands with somebody and say, my God. Hallelujah. We'll see you Sunday morning right here at 10 o'clock. If you need prayer for any reason whatsoever, come to the front right now. Come to the front right now.